Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The Old Testament lessons for today is from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 34. This can be found on page 408 of your pew Bible. Our hearts are lifted in joy as we worship the Lord in all his splendor, remembering his goodness and promises to his people. A reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with the 8th verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you are few in number and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Well, first, I need to say thank you for your gracious and kind re-welcome back to Stanwich. This week, I did a change leader seminar for 20 Francophone leaders from Switzerland and France. We did it by Zoom. They were located in Geneva. And one of the things I told them is leadership is disappointing people at the level they can tolerate. So just remember how you clapped today in the days ahead. I've loved this joy series. I've gone to every passage in the Bible that has joy or gladness in, and I've been kind of drinking it in. My life dream is a tombstone exercise that I did about 22 years ago that what I would want on my tombstone one day, and it's this: he knew Christ, he made Christ known, and he did it with joy. So this has been a searching process to keep joy, and I'm realizing now that joy is a grace gift. We don't create joy. It comes from the bounty and the generosity of God. But even though it's a gift, I have to steward it. Why? Because happiness will disappoint me. Sometimes I don't get what I want, so I'm unhappy and I'm disappointed, and it's fighting for joy. But sometimes even when I get the things I want, I realize I really didn't want that after all. And there's disappointment. And so there's a process of stewarding the joy that God wants to release in our lives. And the passage today, I believe, has one of the key elements for maintaining joy in our life in the different seasons. I've cried with some of you this week out of loss, and we found joy in it. Others, we said, yes, because God did what we wanted him to do. Joy comes in loss, it comes in bounty, it's all over the place, but the way I maintain my joy in all those situations is a life rooted in worship. And David gives us a classic example. Now, the power of the Psalms in the Scriptures, they're both liturgical and they're instructional. What do I mean by they're liturgical? They give us a guide to move through our own worship. But they're instructional because they tell us where to put our thoughts to truly worship. And David does this in this context. I want to remind you of what's happening here. The Ark of the Covenant has been brought back to Jerusalem. If you remember, that's this little wood box that's covered in gold that the people carried with them through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings that would end up in the Holy of Holies. For them, it was the presence of God. Now, we know God wasn't in that box, but there was something unique about that box because when the Philistines took it, crazy things happened out in the Philistine areas. And David brings it back and puts it under the tent, and worship breaks out. It's a celebration that's named here in Chronicles. It's not just the Ark of the Covenant, but the Ark of God. And so there's sacrifices that are made. There are offerings that are brought in. The Levites invoke the presence of God. They thank, they give praise. And then this Asaph choir takes off. And David can't help himself. Remember we said earlier, joy is contagious. David has to praise the Lord. And he breaks off into this song. And the core of it is this word, remember. Remember is an important word to the people of God in that time. It occurs 235 times in the scripture. Of all of the exhortations that were given, we're told to remember more than we're told to obey or to not do something or even to pray. We're told to remember. It's remember that God is the one who's setting this life up for you, of whether you walk into it and experience it or take your own divergent path. And he says in verse 12, remember the wondrous works that God has done. Recount them. Every once in a while, stop and begin making lists of all the things that God has done. And David can't help himself. He remembers some of the things of the history of Israel. And then in verse 15, remember his covenant forever. This is his relationship with you that he guarantees. He's the one that is making sure the relationship stays strong. Even when you wander, he's pursuing you to bring you back in. That word, though, for them was not just to jog your memory. It was an action word. It's zachar in the Hebrew. Can you say that? Zachar. So I want you to zachar God this week. When things are going sour, go, God, I zachar you. When things are going good, God, I zachar you. Here's a video to help you.
Zachar. I will zachar the deeds of the Lord. The Hebrew word zachar is often translated remember. That is, calling something to mind or not forgetting. Joseph has a dream about his brothers bowing down to him. And years later, when it actually happens, Joseph is said to zachar his dream. He is recalling something he'd forgotten. But zachar is often more than just remembering. Zachar is also focusing your attention on something in order to act. When God commands Israel to zechar the Sabbath, it's not because they might forget about what the Sabbath is. Zechar means keeping the meaning of the Sabbath at the forefront of your mind in order to keep the Sabbath. And in the story of Noah and the flood, when God remembers Noah and the animals, it's not that God had forgotten them. Rather, God's zechar is acting on a promise to save them. God heard their groaning, and God zechar his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Now, we didn't need that video this morning. I could have said that in about 10 seconds, but I want my preaching to be also instructive and resource you. You need more than the Word of God on Sunday. And there's great resources out there. That's from the Bible Project. I don't know if you've ever gotten or not gotten to the Bible Project. That's a worthy pursuit online. When you're tempted to scroll through all those other social media places, throw one of those Bible Project things on and see how it lifts your spirit. The point of zechar, though, is that it's an action word, and it leads constantly to two movements of action. One is vertical, and one is horizontal. And you see that in the verbs here. David expresses his praise to God in a vertical way directly to him. Verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 24, declare his glory. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 29, ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Bring an offering. You see, action, we tell God of all the things that he is worthy of worship in. But what it does is it reconnects us to his glory. Do you hear how it says here, ascribe glory to the Lord? It kind of takes me back to verse 10, which says, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. See, a real life of joy is when you actually live for his glory. When everything changes, it's no longer about your fame. It's no longer about your success. You're not worried about the details. Your whole life becomes, I just want God to get a reflection of glory off of my life, and you express it back to him. At the same time, there's a horizontal declaration that comes after each of these verbs. Give thanks to the Lord, but make his deeds known among the peoples. Sing to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Sing to the Lord. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory, his marvelous works among the people. You see, the reason we worship on Sunday, why it's such a pinnacle of our week, is together we express to God our delight in him, and it calls all of us unto this praise. It's a testimony out. Why? Because there are times you come here and you don't want to praise. Like, take Elder John for a moment. There's times that he comes and he's thinking, what am I doing here? Is this going to be a good experience? Am I going to like the songs? And, what's this going to be like? And Tom behind him is singing with great delight and he's meeting God. And all of a sudden, John's spirit is picked up and he's moved along. You see, it's the testimony outward that draws us all in. You've had that experience, right? Come on, I'm your pastor and I've had that experience. It's in arriving that we enter into the presence of God and we hear others glorifying him that we're transported to experience it as well. We have a friend that says it this way, pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it. Charles Taylor, who wrote that classic, This Secular Age. Some of you have tried it. It's a tome about this thick. I recommend you get the Google Notes because it's a lot easier to digest. But his basic principle is this. As secular or post-secular people, we've become disenchanted. The simple things no longer bring a sense of awe and wonder. But if we will slow down and pay attention, we will be astounded, and you can't help but tell about it. Some of you knew about the announcement before you came in here today because there were people in the parking lot who were telling you about it. And what do we have to tell about? We have to tell about the glory of God, what he has done, and how he's sustained us in relationship all of these years. So what's my so what? Joy is a journey into the bounty and the generosity of God. When we remember the generosity and bounty of God in our lives, it will bring joy to us. There is a reflex of rejoicing that will become part of our life. It will have to flow from us. It's the byproduct of that relationship that we're in. Our psalm says that today, it says that this, splendor and majesty are before him, strength or joy are in his place. It's the overflow of the Father's love that brings joy into our hearts. We saw it in the abiding passage. When we will simply abide, abiding is not accomplishing anything. It's just waiting. Jesus says, my joy will fill you. And it will just be better than you could ever think. We're not even going to get to the Holy Spirit in this series, but Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, you know what the second one listed, love and joy. This is God's fullness for us that he wants to release, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the now what for me is that I maintain it, I steward it with a life of generosity. I can't taste the generosity of God and the joy that brings me and not want to pass it on. It's too good. If I had simply just a nice bottle of wine, I would want to tell you about it. Right? You see, in my life, I don't only want to be a receptacle of the joy that flows from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to be a conduit of it. I want it to go out to others. There's two stories in David's life that really point to the power of him as a psalmist. There are a number of psalms attributed to him. But what I like about David is he's not just a man of words, he's a man of action. Even in his most rebellious moments, when you think that God's going to take him out, he hears the prophet's words and he responds to the bounty of God. Bit of a conflicted person in multiple ways. But there's two aspects of his generosity that capture me. One is at the end of 2 Samuel when God says, I'm about to bless the people, but David, I want you to set up an altar on the threshing floor of Anulah's property. And so do this, and then after you offer worship to me, my bounty's about to come. David goes to Anulah and asks for the field, and he says, I want to buy that field. And Anulah says, oh, no, you're the king. You don't have to buy it. You can just have it. And David declares this, I must buy it because I will not give to the Lord that which doesn't cost me. His generosity to the Lord was an expression that he knew the one that was to be glorified. Folks, you've done an amazing job of doing a ridiculous project to make Jesus accessible to people in Stamford. That's an expression of the glory of God. It really is. People will say that's a foolish project. They'll give you all. You know, the temple was a foolish project? It got destroyed multiple times. Now, I'm not making any prophecies about our building down there. But when you do something that's sacrificial for the glory of God, he comes in and he reveals himself. He loves that kind of faith. Someone said to me after the elders voted in this week, have you seen the budget and the year-end giving that we need to get to the end? You know, that's your problem now. I said, that's not my problem. That's God's problem. And I reminded them, it's not God's problem because I've done this 11 other times with you, and you love to wait to the last moment to make God sweat as if God would sweat. Not only was David generous towards God, he was generous towards others. I love the story of Mephibosheth. I don't know if you remember the details of Mephibosheth. He was one of Saul's relatives. When Saul died and pandemonium broke out in the kingdom, one of the nurses grabbed Mephibosheth as a little boy and was running with him, and he fell, and he was crippled the rest of his days. Now, to put this in context, in that day, when you became king of a new place, you wiped out the previous king's family because you knew some of them were going to try to come and get the throne back. But David had made a covenant with Jonathan and said, I will always protect the family of Saul. I will not touch God's anointed. So you can imagine a little bit of fear that was in Mephibosheth when he was summoned to the palace. This is probably going to be it for him. And David says, oh, Mephibosheth, I want you to come and dine at my table. Even Mephibosheth knows the oddity of it and says, don't you know I'm just a dead dog before you? David said, Saul's family will always be welcome at my table. See, David knew what it was like to be welcomed back to the table after incredible failure. And his life was an invitation to all to come back to the table. Didn't matter where you had come from, what your identity was in the past, you were welcome at that space. There's a world out there waiting for us to invite them to the table. I love this table. Such a favorite place for me to come after we've digested the word. But I have to be honest with you, there's still a little bit of sorrow in my heart for the people that don't feel welcome yet at this table. And so that's what drives me in mission. To glory God, to bring glory to him by being astonished with what he does, but bringing it out to the world by telling about it. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.